Hello everyone, and welcome to episode number 24 of the Make It Stack podcast. I am your host, Will Waterhouse, and this is all about demystifying the world of saving and investing for young people. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about how you can protect your cash from inflation. So the tide has changed. The ultra-low inflation environment that most of the developed world, including the UK, has been in since the onset of the global financial crisis in 2008 is well and truly gone. So inflation is back, and interest rates have risen substantially to combat this. And these changes pose new challenges for investors. So the UK CPI, so the Consumer Price Index, which is a measure of the change in price of goods and services in the UK, was at 0.9% at the end of 2020, so very low. And we saw that this rose steadily throughout 2021, reaching 4.8% by the end of 2021. And we really saw things accelerate in early 2022. So inflation carried on increasing, driven by a combination of factors, really. For example, the war in Ukraine, when Russia invaded in February, we saw global supply chain disruptions. And also, I think the unprecedented levels of quantitative easing off the back of the financial crisis and the global pandemic was also going through the system. Lots of people think that ultimately increases in the money supply ultimately filter through to higher prices in economies. And then the final factor was just the unlocking of the global economy post COVID-19. So with more people feeling like they could do more socializing, people being able to travel abroad, that just increased demand, put further pressure on the price of goods and services. And so by the end of 2022, UK inflation was approaching 10% per annum, which is distinctly above the Bank of England's target of 2%. And so why does this matter? Well, like why are we talking about this? Well, first of all, in the words of Milton Friedman, who is an economics Nobel Prize winner, inflation can be described as taxation without legislation. So it is an insidious force that reduces your wealth over time if you aren't careful. So let's just unpack this. So let's say you spend £50 on your weekly food shop today. In 12 months' time, when food prices have risen due to inflation, £50 will not be able to purchase the same food basket as before. And so this is what is referred to as a loss of purchasing power for the consumer. And I've done some analysis on the reduction in consumer purchasing power since the end of 2020. And essentially, there's been a fall in the value of money by just over 15% between the end of 2020 and the end of September 2023. And so the higher the rate of inflation, the quicker the fall in the value of your money. And so if you just have cash under your mattress or cash in your bank account, it's gonna be eroded by inflation if you're not careful. And so the key way that this can be protected, the key way you can protect your cash from inflation is through investing in a diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, and property, for instance, which generate returns that outpace inflation over the long term. So that's one key point. But the other question that people may ask is, okay, but I can't invest all of my cash into stocks and property and bonds because I need some liquidity to cover a rainy day. You know, it wouldn't be wise to have all of your wealth tied up in assets. You need to hold some cash, okay? And generally speaking, people say that you should have enough cash to cover around 6 months worth of living expenses, and so this reduces the risk of you having liquidity issues in extreme downside scenarios. So for example, unexpectedly losing your job, or I mean, not so much in this country, but maybe in the States, medical expenses. Also moving house as well, where you might need to stump up additional cash to pay for deposits or additional furniture, for example. And so the key question and the crux of this blog is how do I optimize my cash savings? So the answer to this in simple terms is that you need to ensure that you deposit your cash in an account with the highest possible risk-free interest rate. So for example, say you're receiving 4% interest per annum on your cash in your savings account. That's going to provide more interest per year than an account which only yielded 1% interest. And I couldn't find this data readily available on the internet, but I'm sure there's a number out there. And I would hazard a guess that there are billions upon billions of pounds in suboptimal bank accounts with poor rates of interest. And banks are notoriously poor at giving their customers good rates in a timely way. Because after all, banks make a lot of their money through the spread between the rate that they charge on their loans and the rate that they pay to their depositors, i.e. savers. And so, for example, a bank that receives 10% interest on loans and pays 1.5% to savers is going to be more profitable, all else being equal, than a bank that receives 10% interest and pays 4% to savers, i.e. a 6% spread. So it's clear that the incentives aren't in place to guarantee good rates for savers. So the onus really is on you, the listener, to ensure that you are in a competitive arrangement. So that brings us on to the next question, which is, how do I know if I've got the best rates on my savings? Okay, so generally speaking, interest rates in the UK are correlated with the Bank of England base rate. So if the governor of the Bank of England decides to increase the base rate, which is currently at 5.25%, you can expect higher rates of interest to become available. It's not a perfect one-for-one movement, but there is a correlation there. And there's a good website, well, a few good websites, one of which is called money.co.uk, and the other website is called Martin Lewis Money Saving Expert, who you've probably heard of. He's a famous pundit who really looks out for the best interests of individuals and personal finance education. And based on my analysis, the competitive rates of interest that you can get from an easy access account, so an account where you can withdraw the money at any time, and also an account that you can open with a minimum deposit of £1, is around 4.8% or more per annum. So if you're getting substantially less than 4.8% as of the 8th of November, your rate might be suboptimal. So like all things with personal finance, it's not a black and white thing. There are elements of nuanced, okay? So optimizing your cash savings isn't necessarily as simple as just going for the highest rate blindly. So there are some key considerations to include. So the first consideration is make sure that your money is safe. Okay, so it's important that the savings vehicle that you choose is backed by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, which is abbreviated to the FSCS, and this protects up to £85,000 of your money per bank and building society that you hold your money with. And so this means that if a bank goes bankrupt, your money up to the £85,000 limit should be safe. If you're in the fortunate position to have at least £85,000 of cash in your bank account, consider transferring part of this balance to another FSCS affiliated bank, which increases the amount that you're covered by. For example, having two accounts with separate banks under different banking licenses would have a £170,000 limit. The second consideration is to keep it simple. So don't feel obligated to always chase the best rates on cash. So what I mean by this is, if the most competitive rate of cash is only a few basis points, so a few hundredths of a percent higher than your current savings account, it's probably not worth the hassle, okay? But if it's a couple of percentage points, so say for example, the prevailing rate is 4.8% and you're getting 2%, then it's probably worth making a change. The third consideration are limits on deposits. So there are terms and conditions with some of these savings products, and that there might be limits on the amount that you can deposit in an account per month or as a lump sum in order to get the advertised rate of interest. And you run the risk of not getting that headline rate if you, say, deposit too much into the account over a certain period of time, or withdrawing money from the savings account for whatever reason. So read the fine print and make sure you understand the terms and conditions there on interest payments. And the final consideration on this is considering the liquidity profile of your cash savings. So cash savings that form part of your rainy day fund should be instantly accessible. So easy access accounts should be considered here. However, it is possible to deposit money into what's called fixed term products, where your money is locked up away for a defined period of time. So this could be 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. I think the longest period I've seen is around 5 years. And the advantage of this is that you are guaranteed a certain rate of interest for that period of time. So you could potentially get a higher interest rate for longer. However, I must be clear to state that fixed term accounts can subject you to interest rate risk. So for example, say there was a 3 year fixed term product that had an interest rate of 5.5%. That might look good today where interest rates are, but say the Bank of England carry on increasing interest rates more, that rate might not be as competitive, but you can't withdraw the money for that for those 3 years. You have to wait until it matures. So there is a risk there. So please bear that in mind if you're considering these products. So the final part of this blog really is on my story. How am I managing my cash at the moment? Because, you know, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, it's good to know where someone's got skin in the game. So firstly, I have a current account, a select account with NatWest, which I've had for a long time now, which just, I carry out day-to-day expenditure on there. I don't get any interest on that, but it never holds a great deal of cash. It just has enough to cover my day-to-day expenses. So I don't think competitive interest rates are that important there. The second account I have is also in NatWest, which is a digital regular saver. So the current level of interest I get on that is 6.17% on an annual basis. And this is a good rate of interest. However, there are limits on the amount that I can deposit. I can only deposit £150 a month. But I think if you're someone who's starting from scratch and not saving a ridiculous amount of money, so say, for example, £100 a month, look into these products, because 6.2% is very good. I also have a savings builder account with NatWest. This has a rate of 2.7%, and I'm conscious that this is uncompetitive. And in order to mitigate the impact of that, I periodically transfer cash balances from this account into my Hargreaves Lansdown Active Savings account to increase the rate of interest, which I will come on to just now. So the active savings account that I have with Hargreaves Lansdown is 4.66% AER per annum, and that's with Zopa Bank. So just to take a step back, so for active savings, HL has partnered with several banks and building societies to provide access to lots of different savings accounts, so easy access accounts and fixed term products. And this account contains the majority of my cash savings. It's at least 50% of my cash savings are in here. And I intend for this balance to grow over time. So ultimately, nearly all of my savings will be with active savings. And I think this arrangement works well for two main reasons. So the first reason is that HL work with partner banks to ensure that rates remain competitive. So they do all the hard work for me. And this really is good in a rising interest rate environment where higher rates of interest can automatically be applied to my account. And I've received email confirmation of getting a higher rate. The second reason that it works well is that it's on the same platform as my stocks and shares ISA and my lifetime ISA. So I can view all of my assets in one place. So the administration is simple. And to be absolutely clear to you guys, I'm not affiliated with HL. I don't get any kickbacks. I'm not sponsored. So there's absolutely no conflict of interest there. So I'll just finish off this blog by just hammering home the calls to action. So the call to action for you today is to ensure that you have and continue to have competitive interest rates on cash to protect it from inflation. It really is a risk-free, quick win for your savings. And so if there's obvious room for improvement to increase that rate, please make the change, but make sure it's backed by the FSCS, okay? So yeah, that was all I was gonna go through today. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this. I really do like doing this. It is a highlight of my week, actually, and I will endeavor to keep this up. Just to be clear, all views are my own, and despite my enthusiasm, none of this should be regarded as financial advice. If you are unsure of making any investment decision, please contact a professional. And just one final plea from me. If you are enjoying listening to the podcast, please give it a 5-star review if you can, and share this with any of your friends and family who you think would appreciate this information and get a bit more knowledge. So thank you very much and take care.